1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The NFL says Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is in critical condition after collapsing on the field tonight. After a tackle, the 24-year-old got to his feet and then fell backwards. ESPN's Joe Buck.
During the break, we watched Sean McDermott call his team over and say, "We're going to say a prayer. We're going to say a prayer for DeMar."
ESPN sideline reporter Lisa Salters.
After Hamlin was taken away by ambulance, the Bills players just came to their sideline and they just looked devastated. Some players just sat staring out at the field. Other players were hugging each other. Other guys were openly weeping.
The game was suspended for the night. The new year brings record rainfall, deadly flooding, and high winds to Northern California, and another atmospheric river is coming later this week. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti in Wilton, California.
In Sacramento County, a flood advisory is in place.
What went on in your mind as it started to rain and then pour?
It was time to evacuate. As soon as it got to the flood stage, I said, I'm out of here.
But 83-year-old Walt Hoppe, a lifelong resident here, is staying put no matter how bad it gets.
I take it you're not going to evacuate.
I've been hit before.
Tomorrow, Republicans will take control of the House of Representatives. Unclear as who will be elected Speaker of the House. Recent House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy wants it, but is facing opposition. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Speaker does not have to be a member of the House, and in the past, lawmakers have cast protest votes.
The Honorable Joseph Biden of the state of Delaware has received one.
The eventual winner can only afford to lose four GOP votes if no Democrats cross party lines. Nicole D'Antonio, CBS News, Washington.
Addis, Louisiana police officer David Cawthron has been charged with negligent homicide after he allegedly killed two high school girls during a high-speed chase. Investigators say he was racing to join the pursuit when he ran into a vehicle carrying the teens. Antonio Mobidau knew the girls.
They're very sweet, very joyful. They did give a lot of people a smile over here. And they live right behind us. That's what hit us hard.
Other officers were chasing a man who had reportedly stolen his father's car. The Vatican estimates 65,000 people filed past the body of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI today, lying in state. CBS's Chris Livesay has the latest.
Benedict became the first pope to resign in six centuries, recognizing, he said, his incapacity to fulfill his ministry due to the strain of old age. Pope Francis championed Benedict's bravery to abdicate his power. He will preside over the funeral of his predecessor on Thursday.
Chinese manufacturing weakens amid COVID-19 outbreak. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Research shows listeners prefer a personalized experience. So to help you remember, Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance. We personalize this ad for Amber, who really misses boy bands from the 90s.
Hey, girl. I'm the cute one, here to tell you how Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
I'm the heartthrob. The only thing I love more than you is saving.
And I'm the other boy in the band everyone forgot about. Just happy to
be here. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, January 3rd. In Wood County, the Property and Information Technology Committee meeting will take place at 1:30 p.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Finance and Property Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Space and Properties Committee meeting that would have taken place at 3:30 has been rescheduled for January 24th. The Executive Operations Committee meeting that was scheduled for 5 p.m. has been canceled. The Land and Water Conservation Committee is still scheduled for 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex, Conference Room 5. In Adams County, the Land and Water and UWEX Committee meeting is scheduled from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse in Boardroom A230. In Wood County, the Operations Committee meeting scheduled for today has been moved. The meeting will be held on Thursday, January 5th at 9 a.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter weather advisory begins at midnight tonight and continues until noon today. Overcast overnight with a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows around 27. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. 35. 1 to 3 inches of snow overnight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere. Happy 2023. It's the first show of a new year, and you may be at home. I don't know. I feel like this is kind of like how last week was. We were like, are people working? Are people at home? Or
It's one of those holiday days. Again, coming in this morning, the freeways were just dead, which was lovely. So I tend to think this is a lot of people's New Year's. A
lot of people's New Year's. Well, and if you're still recovering from a hangover,
You're not alone.
But thank you. If you're listening live, thank you for joining us during your lunch hour or the noon hour. If you're listening later, thank you for spending time with us while you're working out or walking your dog or whatever, cleaning your house, whatever you do.
Exactly.
While you listen to our podcast, you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. So last Wednesday, Greg Bach, Hump Day Wednesday, we had a little bit of a bracket with Paul Ferry's headline of the year bracket. So this guy must just archive headlines. So just garbage opinions won. Just if you were curious on that one. So a reminder that the city of Ottawa wants to hear your garbage opinions.
Oh, that's such a great headline.
Top headline of the year.
It's tough to beat that.
So now he's back with a list of predictions made in 1923 about 2023. And literally he has just a bunch of screenshots of newspaper articles and headlines from 100 years ago. And I just thought it'd be fun. We could talk about, it's like the Nostradamus thing. It's like, is this true? Is this not true?
Is this close?
Is this where we are? So the first one, no more hard work by 2023.
Oh, yeah. No.
Dr. Charles P. Steinmetz, the electrical expert, believes that the time is coming when there will be no long drudgery and that people will toil not more than 4 hours a day. He visualizes an amazing transformation in life in 2023. Every city will be a spotless town. That's not true. That is to be the work of electricity. So I think compared to 1923, there's a lot less people who are working hard.
Working manual labor,
manual
certainly.
Manual labor. And I think that there is a lot of people who have flexible freelance work. That I'm going to give this, like, we're just going to arbitrarily rate these things. I would say this is a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
As far as accuracy in a 100-year prediction. That compared to 1923, no more hard work. People are certainly working hard, but I think it's, and there's still, in that no one is not working hard. Lots of people working hard still, and there's still some manual labor.
Well, don't forget, I mean, we talked to Will Sue, who's a ginseng farmer in Wisconsin. That's all done by hand. Harvesting our vegetables in California, a lot of that stuff is still done by hand.
But there is a lot more automation.
True.
I mean, I feel like we're balanced as much with stories like that as we are with AI and the automation of everything. And you know, serverless restaurants and everything's on a tablet and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think there is, it's shifted.
It has. And certainly there are a lot more tech jobs and a lot more support jobs and healthcare jobs, but there are still roofers and plumbers and contractors and field workers and road repair people. And there's still plenty of hard manual labor jobs out there.
All right. I still say a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I'm just making this up as we go along. All right. Here's the next one. We should all worry. No exclamation point, just period. We should worry. Good night. It is now predicted that by the year 2023, only a mere stretch of a century ahead, women will probably be shaving their heads. And the men will be wearing curls. Also, the maidens may pronounce it the height of style in personal primping to blacken their teeth. Won't we be pretty? Savannah News. So some women do shave their head.
True.
And some men wear curls.
That's true.
I actually met someone recently who said their son permed their hair. His hair.
The perms are back.
The perms are back. The 1970s. I wonder if they're healthier than they used to be. If there's a new way to perm your hair that doesn't feel as chemically.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know if anyone's blackening their teeth. So I'm going to give this one a 4. 4 out of 10. I like that prediction, though. We should worry.
We should worry.
All right, this one's from the Minneapolis Journal. It is an attractive prophecy that Glenn Curtis, the airplane authority, gives of air flight. He predicts that by the year 2023, gasoline as a mode of power will have been replaced by radio. And that the skies will be filled with myriad craft sailing over well-defined routes.
Wow, that was optimistic.
So I guess, is the prediction that the radio waves, like what we're going out on right now, the radio waves, or is what's going to power automobiles?
And considering that I've been doing this job, I mean, been in radio for the vast majority of my life, and I still don't understand how it works, even I know that that's not going to work.
Yeah. So I don't know, Glenn Curtis. I'm going to give that one a 0.
Yeah.
That's a 0 out of 10. Fewer doctors and present diseases unknown, all people beautiful. I feel like the headline writing has really gone in a better direction.
Were they just taking it easy on the typesetters? Let's just cut out some words.
Beauty contests will be unnecessary as there will be so many beautiful people that it will be almost impossible to select winners. The same will apply to baby contests. I like the idea that the reason that we originally had beauty contests is because it was like a very scarce, like it was a scarcity. Like there was not an overabundance of beautiful people. So we need to rate and measure and reward those who are. And that in 100 years, there's just going to be too many. So it's going to be impossible to actually have a beauty contest.
We're all so beautiful now.
But I do agree that people are getting better looking.
You think so?
You don't?
Not necessarily.
I think people are getting...
It depends upon if we're talking about people who are getting tweaked.
Oh!
I mean, certainly
that helps, but I would say in general, I feel like each generation, there's more attractive people, there's more blending of races, there's more blending of different ethnicities, and so that always, I feel like, mixed people, I think... generally are it's like, you know, it's good, right? I think like the blending of the best genes and stuff and things get better. I would give this one an 8.
And I would say you're right, and all you have to do is look at some of the pictures of old monarchs.
Exactly, right?
Yes.
All that who all intermarried
that did so well for the Habsburgs. Mm. What a good-looking group.
Mm. Exactly. So I think that's the most accurate one. We still obviously But even the beauty contests, I feel like, are more... Miss America and all that stuff is way more on academics and, like, scholarships than just what you look like.
No,
yes, they're beautiful, but it's... I think there's a lot more to it than you're the prettiest, you win.
Yeah, it's about accomplishments.
I did reach out. I'm still trying to get Miss America, Grace Stonky. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but on the show because... That would be really fun to have her and have her explain nuclear fission to us.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll do a couple more. By 2023, remember, this is all from 1923, that these are people who are making predictions for 100 years from now. By 2023, the average life of a man could be increased to 100 years.
Ooh.
In individual cases, it could be increased to 150, perhaps 200 years. Now, I would say it'd be interesting because we just did that story in the last 2 weeks that the average lifespan in America for the first time is for the second year in a row is decreased.
Has declined.
From 77 to
75?
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, I'm sure that was a lot older than in 1923. There are more and more people living to 100.
True.
Certainly not the average lifespan. So it's wrong, and certainly 200 years is wrong, but they are saying that the first person to live to 150 has already been born.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a hard time wrapping my head around that just because I think of, we've all seen pictures of the world's oldest woman is 113. She doesn't look so good at 113.
I think I just saw a woman in Milwaukee who just celebrated her 110th birthday.
But again, add another 70 years onto that.
I'm just saying with technology, I mean, if technology and health and stuff like that, like, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm trusting the scientists. The scientists are saying there's someone alive now who could live to 150. I don't know what their retirement's going to look like. all right. A scientist says a century from now, the average length of human life will be 300 years. All right. That one's not right.
They obviously were not working into the whole money thing.
Here's another one about curls. Curls for men by 2023 predicts anthropologists.
Wow. Boy, they were a little obsessed with the follicles.
But which is hilarious because I feel like, did men just not have curly hair back then?
They used to have curly, well, not in 1923, but certainly before that, men wore wigs with curls.
That's what I mean. Like, why was there so much predictions about, like, curly hair is a natural state.
Well, right. And what about men with naturally curly hair?
I know.
Were they shunned?
Well, maybe it was just the expectation that you keep your hair short.
Probably.
So, this one, there you go. The population in the United States in the year 2023, probably 300 million will imply an immense progress in the drainage of our lowlands and the irrigation of arid lands. Well, we are over 300 million people in this country. I don't know what that effect has had on our drainage of our lowlands, but...
Well, we've certainly developed a lot of areas that had water before.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And altered... We have altered landscapes.
I'm going to give that one a 4, because I don't see the correlation, but okay. I could just be not a land person. All right, this is the last one. Cancer, tuberculosis, infantile paralysis, locomotor ataxia, and leprosy will be eradicated.
Hey, they got one.
They got one.
And leprosy has not been eradicated, but it has been, what, contained?
Contained. Cancer's still with us, but all right. Well, this isn't even all of them. So you can go check out on Twitter, Paul Ferry at Paul ISCI, because it's kind of fun. It's fun that he does all the work to bring these to light. So, all right, when we come back, maybe you forgot about some of these Wordle spinoffs, but we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes. But I am not a criminal.
I work for youth advocate programs, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
I got a pocket full of quarters and I'm headed.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us in the noon hour. Maybe you're eating lunch. Maybe you're cleaning your house. But as always, no matter what you're doing, you can join the conversation. 844-967-2789.
We did have a texter who checked in about Aaron Rodgers' hair.
That he cut it.
Yes. 262 says, speaking of hair, Aaron Rodgers' hair is finally back to normal. And I said, no more Peaky Blinders look.
I mean, that someone pointed that out on Twitter last night, that like, we're back. Maybe we're finally back.
So it was the hair.
It was the hair. It was the hair this whole time, potentially.
That's so Samson and Delilah.
I know. But no, like last night in his post-game interview, someone grabbed a screenshot of that, and it was just looked like his normal, like, pre all of this, not long, not straggly, not ponytail, like just a normal haircut.
Good, because he looked like a moron.
It was really, because it was it the, not this game, it was the game before last on Christmas Day. He'd take it off, and it was just that down the middle part. It was almost like alfalfa, except alfalfa has the down the middle part, but then the thing sticking up. But it was just so stark, which also reminded me, I think this was more of a 2021 thing. Brooklyn could probably tell me when this was, but the Gen Z's saying that you look old if you have a side part instead of a middle part, and it was a whole thing online, and then a bunch of people tried, this is what I look like with a middle part. They're like, this is why I don't do a middle part. Not everyone can pull off a middle part. And
Aaron Rodgers
cannot pull off.
Most men cannot pull off a middle part.
And so, that, thank you for the text, 262. That is very funny. So you still don't play Wordle?
I don't.
Just because, no, do you play any games?
There's a game called, and I'm not going to be able to think of it now. It's a crossword puzzle game, but basically if you took the crossword puzzle and you chopped it up and there's only one clue at the top, and then you have to kind of put the crossword puzzle back together, if that makes sense.
With all the same words, like using all the same words?
Yeah.
Ever saying the letters?
Yep.
Okay, so you have like five letters and you have to make as many words out of those letters?
No, it's an entire crossword puzzle cut up, and then you have to reassemble the crossword puzzle according to the one clue that you get at the top. It's challenging.
I'm trying to imagine what that looks like. You'll have to show me.
Yeah, it's really challenging.
But I think Wordle is still
huge,
going strong.
Oh, yeah.
I think I told the story of there was an entire theme of Wordle. I can't even say it right now. Wordle for Christmas at my mother's house this year. We had to solve Wordles before we opened some of our presents.
Oh, that's good.
We got little coffee mugs.
Your mother really makes you work for it.
Really, really makes us work for it. But one of the things that I thought was funny. It was how many then spinoffs there were.
Of Wordle.
Of Wordle. So taking the same concept as far as five letters, six guesses, you get to know where the letters are. But then there was things that like had even more of a little bit of a theme to them. So stop me if you heard any of these from last year. Hurdle, as in heard, like you heard something.
I have no idea.
It was, it asked you to identify songs from only their opening seconds.
There have been variations of that game before.
So there wasn't, that's a whole show. I think
that, name that
Niecy,
tune.
Niecy Nash, she was the host of that show where you got to hear some of it and then you had to guess the song. So
name that tune.
Yes, exactly. But Spotify acquired the game in July for an undisclosed amount. Worldle, that's really hard to say, which asks you to identify a country from its silhouette with hints like kilometers you're off by and direction to head in after each wrong answer.
Well, that's
that would be really hard, especially some of the small countries.
That's like the Jeopardy of games. That's tough.
Like United States would be obvious. But if you think, because you think about continents and you're so used to seeing the countries by other countries, that would be really hard. All right. Absurdle.
I like it just because of the name.
Captures the thrill of arguing with Siri and transforms it into a Wordle experience.
What?
The Absurdle algorithm changes its answer as you continue making guesses while honoring any correct letters you've entered. I don't even know how that would work. That's ridiculous. Redactyl makes you guess the words behind blacked out text in Wikipedia articles to determine the subject.
These are some tough games.
I wonder how popular any of these became. I guess the Hurdle one was popular enough to get acquired by Spotify. Cloudle gives you a location and several weather emojis to choose from, and then you have to predict the 5-day forecast. And then the Wikipedia game. And so it's not really a spinoff so much as it's like, came around the same time as Wordle, and it gives you two unrelated Wikipedia entries, and then you have to find the shortest route to how to connect them, because you know, like, Wikipedia is it's a wiki, right? So everything's hyperlinked into different articles, and this is how you go down wiki rabbit hole,
right?
But then I don't know if this one's still working or not, but On Milwaukee created a Milwordle one.
I love it.
I wonder how. Because so all the words have to be, it's still live. My first guess was taser, and I have only the A. There's only an A. I'm not going to, maybe I'll do this at the break. But if you want to do one that's specific for Milwaukee, On Milwaukee /Milwordle, still active, still live. I don't know how many people are playing it every day, but I'm going to take the break and see if I can get it. And then when we come back from the break, Paul Noonan will be here, and we are going to have fun talking about the Packers, which how many times have we actually got to say that this season? Let's embrace it while we have it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around. I'm going out of my mind. I got a pocket full of quarters. I got a pocket full of quarters.
The Shaw 101 FM. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about. But you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
The Rick Smith Show. Where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. A Stevens Point man is featured in a Wisconsin Public Radio article about the snow sculptures he builds in his yard. Jeff Schobert, a retired Army veteran, builds the sculptures in his yard as a form of exercise, and it started as a way to entertain his young daughter. He calls the area the Snow Art Zone and builds around 100 different sculptures each winter. Some have even gone viral, such as the January 2021 sculpture of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in his iconic mittens pose. This year, the focus of his sculptures are classic childhood characters such as Winnie the Pooh and the Smurfs. The new year officially begins for the Wisconsin legislature tomorrow. Inauguration Day is largely for ceremony. However, the governor will deliver his State of the State speech on the 24th and his budget address on February 15th. The governor and lawmakers will decide what to do with the projected budget surplus of about $6.6 billion. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter weather advisory begins at midnight tonight and continues until noon today. Overcast overnight with a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows around 27. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. 35. 1 to 3 inches of snow overnight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
I'd buy a first round wideout. I would buy you a first round wideout. And if I ran the Green Bay Packers, if I ran the Green Bay Packers, I would not sign Sammy Watkins, even though he's a first round wideout. And if I ran the Green Bay.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. It is 12:33, and it is time for Packers Pundit Playback. And we finally, not finally, we're in a winning streak right now, but whoo, that was a fun game to watch to kick off the year. And to hear to talk about it is returning champion Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company. He also hosts the weekly podcast Reporting as Eligible, which is on the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate podcast, which is on the Brewers, and has a lovely singing voice, because that was him who was just singing.
That was really great, Paul. Really.
So,
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. For this one, I like to like just learn a little bit more about what I'm doing every time I do one of these. So I did just a little quick YouTube course on how to make your voice sound better in editing. And I actually have also a 5-part harmony later on in that one, too. Oh, so this one has some production values. It sounds better.
It turned out pretty well. Where can people go listen to the whole song since we can't play the whole song right now?
I actually have a YouTube channel. I'm Badger Noonan on everything. You can find it there. There's also an article on Acme Packing Company promoting it as well. It was on Christmas Eve if you want to go find that.
Well, it's because I knew you wrote the article. I didn't know that there was a song that came with it. And so... Welcome back. How happy are you?
Thanks.
Because I already said this earlier on the show. So we started watching the game. That kick was punt. Like the punt was blocked. Vikings got it on like the 1 or 2 yard line. Yeah. And I was like, oh, here we go again. And we managed to hold him. And then immediately, Kesey and Nixon it was 100 yards because he was in the end zone when he caught that ball, right?
Yeah. I think it was maybe technically 98. It was right on the goal line, though. It was basically 100 yards. And he's been so close every single week. And last week, he was tackled at the 3-yard line on basically the same thing. And we ended up kicking a field goal on that play. And that was, I think, one of the pivotal moments of that. And just that he actually managed to get it over the goal line here and finally score one was after that. I was like, okay, this one's going to be fine. We're okay here. This is all right.
And then that was like the beginning of the rest of the game was basically like the punt was blocked. And that was like the last bad thing that felt like it happened the whole entire game. And anything else that was bad, it didn't feel that bad. Cause all of a sudden is that our highest scoring game this season?
I think it is. We scored a lot against the Cowboys too. I should have pulled that up. But I'm pretty sure this was our highest scoring game. Whether it was or not, it was our best performance for sure. No question about that.
Well, and it was specifically like for the entire season to have everyone ragging on Joe Barry and our defense and then have our first basically like 14 points come from the defense.
The defense, yeah.
So what... For those of us who don't follow it like you follow, like what changed? What did they start doing differently that this was such a ridiculously different team than I feel like we've seen all season?
This was such a drastic change defensively from what we're used to seeing from Joe Barry. And one thing I have been critical of the Packers all year is their lack of proper self-scouting and just assessment of what went wrong the week before. They tend to not change things up very much, but Jaire Alexander in particular was very vocal after the first Vikings game and their loss that he was not playing the style that he should be playing against this team. The Vikings are very much a front-loaded team with Justin Jefferson. He's much better than everyone else on offense for them, and it makes no sense to have Jaire Alexander just wasting time covering anybody else, Adam Thielen in particular. This game, they changed it. They don't normally do that. They actually went with what they should have been doing. He blanketed him all game. He was on him for 3/4 of snaps. He held Jefferson to 1 catch for, I think, 0 catches, actually. But people he was guarding had 1 catch for 1 yard. Kudos to Joe Barry for actually going against, I think, a lot of his tendencies. I do wonder if Jerry Gray, who is the DB's coach there, is starting to have a little bit more say. He's well-regarded as well, and that's sort of his avenue. That's what he coaches. And it's just nice to see the Packers actually change up their scheme to attack the weaknesses of an opponent for really the first, maybe second time all year. It's been happening more lately, and it's good to see. It gives me some hope for the playoffs.
Absolutely. And Justin Jefferson looked... frustrated.
Mad. Really mad. Yes.
Like
he was in his head.
There was one, I think we were probably already in the third or fourth quarter, but he'd taken his helmet off and they looked at him on the sidelines and he just looked very upset because he is not used to being held to that, like being that limited.
Yep, and there was an instance there where he actually hit an official with his helmet a little bit. It was an accident. So the one thing I'll say is it was definitely an accident. He was frustrated and an official happened to walk in front of him. He definitely realized what was happening and like pulled up at the last second, but he still made contact. You're not allowed to make contact with officials by accident or not. If he gets a substantial fine from the league, I won't be surprised at all. I don't think they'll suspend him because that game is important.
Yeah.
But he was so frustrated. It's very out of character for him too. But Jair Alexander, he backed up his smack talk, and you wonder, you worry a little bit in the week leading up that that's going to fire up the opponent as well, and you're going to look silly, but nope. Jair Alexander played a great game. They let the corners be physical on both sides in this game, and he was just in his pocket all game long.
Because was it only this last week that he called it a fluke?
It was this last week that he called it a fluke, yeah.
He was on fire, because he flew. I think we played his post-game interview from...
His post-game last week was phenomenal. He's such a good quote.
Back is back, baby! A similar, very frustrated Viking. Zadarius, first guy off the field... Didn't look that good. Didn't have a very good game. This is obviously someone who was on the Packers, now is on the Vikings.
Zadarius has had a good season. He has been very valuable for the Vikings, but they held up no sacks, no pressures, and he missed several key tackles on especially Aaron Jones' outside runs, which has actually always been a bit of a Zadarius weakness. First of all, kudos to the Packer offensive line for really, really getting after, especially the run game here. And they're a little bit light on the line. Bakhtiari played great in this game, but when they have Nyman and Zach Tom in the game, they're small linemen, and they can cause they can make the Packer rushing game a little weaker than it really normally is. That did not happen here. Zadarius got blocked into the stratosphere a couple times, and this is the Packer game where everything went right, and so everybody played really well. In fact, the guy who probably played worst was actually Aaron Rodgers. Which is fine because he didn't have to play that well to get this one home. But everybody else in support was just outstanding, including that line on Zadarius. And all the Vikings had poor performances. Nobody was a standout for them.
Because there's two different things. We're talking to Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for the Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company. This is Packers Pundit Playback. So we started the segment with your new parody song, but you also wrote, you're like, I get asked a lot, as I'm sure as any Packers pundit, whether it's you, Aaron Nagler, any of the guys working for Packers.com over at Gannett, what would you do differently? And you finally wrote both a song and an article about what you would do differently. And so we finally saw a game where you were like, everyone was playing well. But what are some of the things that you would do differently that they still could improve on, knowing that we're still alive for this playoff season?
There's really only one major thing I would still change, which is... their RPO plays near the goal line. So one of the bad stats for the Packers. no problem. So one of the bad stats that the Packers still have is they're not that good in the red zone at converting possessions into touchdowns. They settle for a lot of field goals, especially when they're close. What I mean by an RPO is what you'll almost always see them line up by the goal line is with Aaron Rodgers in shotgun with A.J. Dillon standing next to him. That's almost always what they do within 5 yards or closer, really within 10 yards. What the play is supposed to be there is Aaron Rodgers takes the snap and puts the ball into A.J. Dillon's gut. And if the end drops down or if the end drops into pass coverage, he's supposed to hand it off. That way, Dillon has an advantage and can go score. If he sees the end come in, he's supposed to pull it back and throw it to the area he vacated. It's a very simple play, and it's a staple of the Packer offense. One of the problems they have is that Aaron has basically stopped doing this. He reads the play based on how many people are in the box when it starts. He does not like making post-snap reads, and he's said this publicly. He got blown up a few times by, I think, DeMarcus Ware making post-snap reads, and since then, he doesn't run the RPO properly. He runs it based on how many guys are in the box, and that's why Dillon ends up running into stacked boxes at the goal line a lot. The other problem with this play is it robs A.J. Dillon of forward momentum when he starts from the shotgun, because he's standing there with the ball in his gut. If they're going an under center run, the running back starts running forward, takes the ball in stride. You get a little more power that way and can power in a little bit more. It's not a great goal line play. It sometimes helps them in the passing game. Alan Lazard gets a few slant touchdowns on it, but it really restricts their reads, and they love it. It works much better when the field is more open and bigger and people are playing lighter boxes, but they should change that. It has not been successful. It's also a reason that they're not good on fourth downs, and they failed on one of those again in this game because the reads are limited. That's why those bombs happen so much on fourth down. You shouldn't throw bombs on fourth down. Bombs on fourth down give the ball to the other team if you don't complete them. So I would change that. But everything else about the Packers, I think they've just done a great job of getting the right guys in the game. Keyshawn Nixon started on the bench. He is now a stalwart. He plays in the secondary too. He is the best kick returner in the league.
Yeah.
Amari Rodgers has been shuffled off. And so they've started to hold guys accountable a little more, and it's really paid off. They also benefited from Dean Lowry going on IR this week. He has been a problem on the defensive line. TJ Slayton was awesome in this game, and Devontae Wyatt was awesome in this game. And they've gotten a lot of addition through subtraction, through actually scouting guys, moving guys who were not effective to the bench or off to IR. And I think this is now their best team. This is the best that they can put out there.
Well, that's exciting. And so I want to talk about the Vikings. And then when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what needs to happen for us actually to still make it to the playoffs. But it's funny because I only have so much bandwidth to even pay enough attention to what's going on with the Packers. But I'd heard, because I pay attention to Twitter and stuff, more and more people saying it's a fluke that the Vikings have this record. And you decided to also write about that, as far as the Vikings are frauds for having this good of a record. And it was finally kind of proven last night. So what has happened? How did they get this record? I mean, because a win's a win, as we all know.
It is.
But what went wrong for them that it finally all the house of cards came down?
There are so many things that have gone into the Vikings getting lucky. And I want to be very clear here. Like, when I talk about the Vikings being luckier than being frauds, it's really a scientific description of them, because they have actually been outscored on the season now. They came into this Packer game having outscored their opponents by 5 points. Usually when you outscore your opponents by 5 points, you're a 500 team. And one thing we know from just statistics is projecting teams forward, their points for and against are much, much better at predicting that than their record is. The NFL is, 17 games. It's a very small sample size. Wacky stuff happens. The ball is not a circle. It bounces funny. And if you've watched the Vikings at all this year, it's been insane. They had the greatest comeback in NFL history last week against a horrible Colts team. And the only reason that it happened is because they have a coach who's never coached before coaching them. They had a crazy win against the Bills, where a random fumble at the end of the game that never happens, ever, ever, ever. They benefited from that. And, we track all these per-play metrics now that we never used to have, EPA and DVOA being two big ones, doesn't matter what they mean. But here's the thing. The Vikings are the worst 12-4 team of all time. Now, post this Packer game, on a per-play basis, they're the 28th best team in football. There are only 32 teams in the league. It's unprecedented for a team to be that bad on a per-play basis and have this record. More than anything, the craziest stat about the Vikings this year is they are 9-0 in one-score games. One-score games, we know historically, are just basically coin flips. Every team, no matter how good or bad, goes 50-50 in one-score games. To be 9-0 to have 9 in the first place is a lot. To win all of them is crazy. It always regresses to the mean. And again, they're still 9-0 in one-score games because the Packers beat the tar out of them. So it was not a one-score game. But it's the sign of a fraud. It's the sign of a team that's going to crash back to earth.
And they did.
Boy, did they ever.
Oh, man, it was glorious. So fun to rub it in my cousins' faces who love the Vikings. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, what needs to happen for the Packers to go to the playoffs, and what our chances are once, if we get there? Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Paul Noonan from the Shepherd's Express and Acme Packing Company, talking about the Packers, Packers Pundit Playback, and that great win we had yesterday. And really, just 2 weeks in a row of everything that has to happen and happened. Obviously, Christmas weekend, we had all the four other NFC teams lost. And then the Browns came through yesterday and did us a solid by beating the Commanders. Also, did you notice that Jim Nance called them the Redskins instead of the Commanders? Or did I just pick up on that?
I hear it every time somebody says it, honestly, because I'm so self-conscious of it myself. Just yeah. I haven't said that name in about a decade, but it's always still top of my mind whenever I have to write about Washington. And, you know, when you're writing, you kind of flip back and forth between the mascot name and the town name so it doesn't get repetitive. And with Washington, you never could do that before. So glad they're the Commanders now. They gave us a gift. The Packers definitely got an absolute gift from Washington. They started Carson Wentz, who is their ostensible starting quarterback, but everybody in the world except Washington knows is worse than Tyler Heinicke, their backup. There's no reason to start him. And he played terribly. He threw multiple interceptions. He lost them the game against the Browns. After the game, it was very clear that Ron Rivera, Washington's coach, did not understand that this was an elimination game for them. And reporters essentially had to tell him that they were now out of the playoffs based, if the Packers won, based on what just happened. So I do wonder if he would have done...
How are you paid to do a job and you don't know that?
Football is weird, and it has a lot of old school, just athletes who aren't necessarily the brightest bulbs, not to disparage yes. Ron too much, but Ron Rivera was not doing his job. Honestly, if he survives the next few days based on that press conference alone, I will be quite surprised.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So that happened. Obviously, we know what happened in the Packers game. So now, do we have to beat the Lions to get to the playoffs? Or what are the scenarios that are left?
We do have to beat the Lions because the Lions beat the Bears. And the big problem for the Packers in that is that the Lions can still finish ahead of them. The Lions own a win over the Packers. And the Lions are, as of now, fighting for their own playoff spot, too. Now, the Lions actually, I think, need help as well. They need Seattle to lose in addition to beating the Packers. There's still that hanging out there. But the Packers do own a tiebreaker there, which is why they get in if they win. But it really is as simple as that. The Packers need to win, and if they do that, they control their own destiny at this point. They are in the playoffs. If they don't, I actually should look up. I don't think they can. I think the Lions get in automatically over them at this point. So okay. I think it was still alive had the Lions lost to the Bears, but the Bears decided not to show up for that game. So.
So basically, we need to win. It's at home.
Yeah, it is at home.
So that's good.
The Lions are this is not a gimme at all. The Lions are a pretty good team. They are still under-talented, but they are feisty. They are well-coached, unlike some other teams. And they They've actually really improved defensively over the last half of the season. It kind of started with the last Packer game when the Packers only scored 9 points against them. They have one of the better offenses in the league. They have gotten their first-round pick, Jamison Williams, back into the fold a little bit. Now the receiving core is very deep. Beating them is tricky. It is, especially given what happened last time, where the Packers were more or less fully loaded for that game and just kind of laid a stinker. They have to change things up drastically. One thing you can do against the Lions is run the ball effectively. And I think they showed in this game, they'll just lean on Aaron Jones in a must-win game. That's a good recipe towards beating the Lions next week. Hopefully that's what they end up doing.
Well, here's hoping. I mean, this is, we revived... The way this season has been revived of getting people hyped up is very fun. I would say the entertainment value is high instead of just totally saying it's a wash. Who cares? Because it's fun. It is like yesterday's game was just so much fun to watch. And so speaking of fun to watch, it seems like our new UW Wisconsin Badgers coach is trying to earn that paycheck because big news over, I don't know who this kid is, but my brother was very excited that the SMU quarterback is spending his last year of eligibility at Wisconsin. Tanner Mordecai, which is a great name.
It is. It's fantastic.
And so he's coming to spend, it sounds like he's really good.
He is really good. One thing I do is I run a few metrics for every college quarterback in college football. I have them graded on a metriced on a scale of average is 100. He was 107. He was 7% better than average last year, and that might not sound like much, but that's very good. Actually, having any above average quarterback is great. The best quarterback in football this year is Hendon Hooker for Tennessee, who did not play in his final game. He was 120. He's 20% better than average. Graham Mertz, the outgoing Packer or Badger quarterback, was a 95, and he had to rally at the end of the season to get to that level. Mertz obviously has struggled a lot for the Badgers. He's looked good on occasion against their lesser opponents. But Tanner Mordecai is very, very accurate, and I think that's the single best thing about him. It's hard to find accuracy at the college level. There's a lot of guys who are good at throwing bombs, having the receivers kind of help him out on the deep ball. He's really a technician. He is a very accurate thrower. He's a good athlete. He is very mobile. He's a threat with his legs. And for 2 years running, he has been actually one of the top third in the league in passing. And he should be instantly one of the five best Badger quarterbacks of all time. it's not a position that they recruit particularly well. Russell Wilson and Scott Tolzien are amongst the best they've ever had. And he is maybe not on Russell's level because very few people are, at least at the college level. But he is loads better than anything they've had in the last decade, a decade and a half.
Well, that's exciting. Looking forward to next year.
Yeah, they're very, very, very into the NIL transfer portal game now at Wisconsin. He's the third quarterback they've brought in, and all of them are better than anything they've had in quite a while, as far as I can tell. Nick Evers, I'm not sure about. He's never played, but this is exciting. The Badgers look like they're going to be a force under their new regime, and they're making a lot of noise to get there.
Which is, we love our sports here, so it's always good to the moves to make us good. So, Paul Noonan, and also thank you for including our show on your top 10 list for year 2022. That was very fun. We love having you on here, so hopefully in 2023 we'll have you on a lot more.
Hopefully so, and happy to do it. I love being on. It's a great show. I listen every day, too.
Thank you. That makes us happy. All right. Well, Paul Noonan, you can find him on all social media, YouTube, Twitter, at Badger Noonan. We will link everything in the show. Thank you for spending time with us, and go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stick around. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. I'm coming to get ya, I'm coming to get ya. Spitting out lyrics, homie, I want ya. I came to get down, I came to get down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up, jump up and get down. Jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump, 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 jump,
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5